Welcome back, everybody. This is The Prepared Mindset. I'm your host, Austin, and we got, I don't know if it's going to be that exciting for all you guys. It's a really big deal, so it's something we're going to talk about. Tease this a little bit on the Sunday sit rep discussion from the weekend. Hope everybody, by the way, did have a good, safe, enjoyable 4th of July. I know up here in Michigan, it was hotter than hell, and basically until Sunday night when we got some rain, and then we dipped down into the 70s Monday. So at any rate, hope everybody was safe. No like heat stroke and stuff. It's always really sad when you see the injuries and stuff that come out of, which is something that's normally a very enjoyable and positive holiday, and you see the bad things that come out of it. I know here in Michigan, one of the news outlets reported something like 10 fatalities in the lakes due to drowning. So something that you always hate to see, especially when so much of it is preventable with common sense safety practices. Teaching your kids to swim. If you're gonna be out on the lake and everything, I mean, here in Michigan, we're surrounded by water everywhere. We got the Great Lakes. We have so many smaller inland lakes and things like that. Swimming, I don't care what anybody says, swimming is a 100% a survival skill, and having the physical ability and the stamina to tread water for any length of time, let alone to swim from, about a mile's length, which is pretty hard, honestly. But being able to do something like that's a survival skill, and thoughts and prayers, I don't know what else I can say. Additionally, we have obviously the catastrophic damage going on down in Texas. And I know at the time that I recorded the Sunday sit rep, the casualty number was at like 32. I know since then it has gone up at least by double that. It's really, really sad to see. The community is stepping in. Of course, you got those really, really awesome people that are taking to social media to saying that this is what happens. Those are MAGA children that drowned in that flood. Real, real vile shit like that, where it just makes you question your faith in humanity altogether. I don't really know what else to say to that. It's awful. It's awful. And for as much as thoughts and prayers don't really help you guys, thoughts and prayers with those families who've lost loved ones, in both regards. And if you're looking for a way to donate for the Texas relief efforts, I know there's information out there. Kagan Dunlap has been sharing a lot on Instagram where you can send supplies, or if you're somewhat local, you can drive down and drop supplies. I know the road to recovery, if we go off of anything like what we saw with the damage in the Carolinas, it's gonna be a long it's been a long road to recovery. But at any rate, you guys, talking this week about the bill that was recently passed, the TBBB, I think that's it. Yeah. Which, those of you that are the aficionados of the internet and have spent a lot of time on Urban Dictionary, this is usually the Texas belt buckle, which is, well, you guys will just have to look that one up for yourself, but it's interesting, I'll tell you that. If you guys go to Urban Dictionary and look up Texas belt buckle or the TBBB, you will probably laugh. It is a feat of true manhood, that's for sure. But we're talking about instead, in this iteration, is the Big Beautiful Bill, or One Big Beautiful Bill, also called the OBBBA or something. I don't know. It's a massive piece of legislation, as so many things that actually get through our government are this packet full of shit, but this one was actually somewhere between like 1,000 and 1,100 pages in its final form. I pulled that from, I think, Newsweek. I did use AI to do some research on this, so if there is a degree of inaccuracy here, you guys will have to give me some grace. Maybe reach out and correct me on that, but it hasn't failed me in the capacities I've used it so far. It has not failed me, but we're going to get into that because there's obviously, I think there's some NFA impacts and implications that many of us are interested in and want to talk about. But there's some other stuff too there that I think really is worth mentioning here. And I try not to get overly political, but this is, I mean, take the politics out of it. This got passed. This is happening. So this is something that's going to realistically be impacting you and I for the very foreseeable future. It's not a matter of opinion. It's not a matter of wishing or wanting or hoping. It is a matter of reality. But before we get into that, I do want to make sure we tell you guys about our presenting sponsors here. Without them, we can't do these episodes every week. And it has to start with my good friends over at Custom Night Vision. You guys, I was actually just getting messages before I was sitting down to record from friends. Hey, man, can you tell me, you know, what's a good choice for night vision for a single tube device? Is it even worth looking at NNVT? And guys, these are the kinds of things, these are the kinds of super common questions the team over at Custom is able to assist with. You can head on over to the website. It's customnightvision.com. They have a chat function built into the lower right-hand corner of the website. So if you have a question just like that, hey, is NNVT any good? Is it worth it to save up the money and spend a few more bucks and get something like Elbit or maybe even Photonis? Yes, by the way, the answer is absolutely yes. But they can answer those questions, and more to the point, they can give you the context behind that answer. Well, why is it better? What's the performance difference going to look like? What am I getting for what I'm putting out of pocket with, you know, the NNVT versus the Elbit tubes? What about L3? They're going to be able to walk you guys through the purchasing process. Their goal, their mission, is to make sure that you, the consumer, have the most transparent purchase experience that they can possibly provide. And whether that's, you know, you're coming in for your first single tube PVS-14 device, or you're coming in for a set of binos, they have a ton of options in stock, a ton of housings in stock, regardless of what you're looking for, including even quad tubes, if that's something that you can swing. But you can head on over to the website. Again, it's customnightvision.com. And right there on the front homepage, they have monocular builder and binocular builder. Two big blue buttons. You can pick on whichever one suits your fancy. So whether you want to build a single tube device like a PVS-14 or a Nocturne Tanto or the MH-14 from Lloyd Innovations, you can pick your housing. You can pick the optics you want, like the new RPO 4.0 that have come out and hit the market. And then you can pick the intensifier tube you want, which is where we're talking about NNVT. We're talking about Photonis, Elbit, L3, all that stuff. That's what your intensifier tube is. Same deal with binocular devices, whether you want, you know, some RNVGs or, you know, the MH1 from Lowlight or the Manticore or DTNVSs, whatever you guys want, they have it for you. Again, it is customnightvision.com. Go check it out for yourselves today and pick up some night vision. Also want to say a very big thank you to our friends over at 100 Concepts, you guys. And these guys are crushing it. They're always doing great stuff. They're always listening to the consumer. They're always taking the feedback and the input of real shooters, real professional end users. So when we see things like their light caps, their scope caps, the pro scope caps, the hex caps for your red dots, they're constantly going to be seeing improvements. They're looking for ways to make this better. Not based off of what's going to be better for them, you know, cutting a margin or whatever. They're actually saying, hey, what is going to help you be more successful in the field? And then they're taking that feedback, the guys at 100, and they're putting that into the product. That's why you have your ruggedized light caps. You have your ruggedized scope caps out that are quieter. They're more durable. That's why you see things like the shock collar. You got away from the Ranger bands. Everybody complained about it, mostly me. But a lot of people complained about it, so they did something about it, and they have great, great solutions available, you guys. Head on over to 100concepts.com. Their company motto is do good, be dangerous, live free. A bunch of complete studs over at that company. Love those guys and love their products. Again, it's 100concepts.com. Head to the website and check it all out for yourself. So huge shout out to those guys. Without their support, wouldn't be able to do this, wouldn't be able to put out the content week to week to week, or in some cases, you know, back to back days and things like that, just depending on what happens. So, let's get into it. The big, beautiful bill. All right, so I have a list of some information, some details about this, because I think it's really hard to listen to the media today. So getting regular updates on things like this, most of us, I think, at this point, we're just reading headlines because we just can't deal with the half-truths that fill most of the articles that we encounter and come across in modern media right now. It's just the way it is. It's painful. It heats up a ton of bandwidth dealing with it, because then, I don't know about you guys, inevitably when I read half these articles, I'm like, all right, what aren't they telling me? Why are they phrasing it this way? Why aren't they mentioning A, B, C, and D, right? and it leads you to go, okay, well then either I have to just walk away knowing that there's more to this, or I have to commit to spending more time trying to look up other sources that whatever search engine I'm using is hopefully pushing forward, right? So I think all of us are aware that this was in the works. It was certainly something that I think it contained a lot of campaign promises. I'll say that. And to some degree, I think it carries a lot of weight for this presidency, for this administration, in being able to say, hey, we accomplished some of our goals. And we're about 6 months in, a little bit less, but it's a really big deal. So, this bill, again, it's somewhere between 1,000 and 1,100 pages. So it passed the House narrowly, on May 22nd. So about a month and a half ago, and it passed the Senate on July 1st and the final House vote on July 3rd and was signed into law by President Trump on July 4th, 2025. If that isn't political pandering for you, signing that bill on Independence Day itself, I don't know what is. And if you're a big fan of this, you probably loved it. You're probably punching the air, you know, like, hell yeah, brother, make America great again. And I'm not against it, by the way. I cannot bring myself to be so emotionally and completely supportive of any politician. You know, like there's people I like in politics, and then, you know, I come out and say, oh yeah, I really like Dan Crenshaw. And then you find out later that, okay, maybe Dan Crenshaw is not so great. Maybe some of the stuff he's been doing isn't so freaking awesome. And then you go, yeah, I love Donald Trump. And people are like, no, you shouldn't. And I'm like, you know, I'd fucking forget it. They're politicians. I don't get that. I'll never sit there and just defend everything that any one human does. Blanket yes, no. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't defend everything my wife does. I mean, most stuff, yeah. I mean, she doesn't really give me a reason not to, but, like, I would always be at least a little bit critical if someone was like, hey, you believe she did this shit? Be like, did she really? You know, I mean, I'd still pretty much have her back on everything, but it's like, I'm not going to just believe blindly, you know, that my wife is infallible or something. But she's a wonderful woman, so this isn't about her. We're going to talk more about this bill here. So, here's some of the key contents and the provisions that were included in this. And we're going to, I don't know, I'd love to say there's a specific format that I'm going to go down to break this up. Some things are probably going to hang me up more than others. I'm going to apologize for that in advance. If that's going to tickle your autism in a funny way versus how not doing it would tickle mine. Sorry, I'm doing it my way, bro. So there's a permanent extension to the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act for individuals and estates. I don't know the specifics of that, but I am in favor of tax cuts. I really am. I think that most of us that pay taxes, which is not all of us listening to this. I know there's some of you fucking freeloaders out there and some of you that live at home with your parents. You're under 25. You're eating up that you know, health benefits and healthcare insurance, and you're not paying your own fucking taxes. You don't got a mortgage. Like, sales tax doesn't count. Kiss my ass. Some of you guys are listening. The tax cuts is bad. It's only for his rich buddies. I would encourage you to read a little bit deeper into it before having that blanket opinion of any kind of tax cut ever by any Republican ever. but now there's new and expanded tax breaks, mostly temporary, through 2028, 2029. So we get the next three, four years, in tax breaks. So no federal taxes on overtime pay and service industry tips. So that's a really cool one because... I should look into this one. My wife and I were talking about this. Does that, I know it's like federal taxes on overtime pay, but does that include bonuses? Because people, when they hear that, you know, hey, here's my, you talk with your friends, right? And you're like, well, I got this pretty decent salary, but my annual bonus is like 10% of my annual. And you're like, Jesus. So if you're making $100,000, you get a $10,000 bonus. And they think it's, you know, all sunshine and daisies. And it's not bad. I mean, certainly I don't think anybody that gets that is bitching about it. But the kick to the nuts is because they classify that technically as, and I quote, unearned income. It's taxed at like 60%. So you take home somewhere around half of that. Less than 60%. I mean, it's 40%. You take home like 65%, something like that. You do not get your whole 10 grand. That's what I'm really trying to say here. And it's really fucking upsetting when you're like, wow, I can't believe that. So if it includes that, that'd be cool. If not, I mean, I know there's service industry workers out here. Tips should never be taxed. It was a total farce and complete BS when companies and businesses started like, oh, you have to claim all of your tips as federal law because that's income. It's, yeah, but it's not guaranteed. So that's like, you know, you're hitting people, I think, below the belt with that one. That's just my personal opinion. I, you know, had family members that ran restaurants and stuff. I know what it can be like to have your week be good or bad based on how much you're making off the generosity of others, basically off charity. Because there is no rule or law saying that you have to tip people. There really isn't. And I'm all in favor of tipping. I tip 20% as like a ground-based rule, and I do a little bit more if you're really good, but I tip 20%. Now, what I fucking can't stand these places, you know, we went and got fucking Cinnabon at the outlet mall over the weekend, and it, you know, it's bad enough you're already paying like $18 for some like, you know, nuggets, or sorry, it was Auntie Anne's pretzels, it wasn't Cinnabon, and you're already paying $20 for some pretzel nuggets, right? And then they want you to give 15% for a tip. I'm like, why? All this guy working the register did was grab the cup of pretzels and put it on the counter and ring me up. Like, why? That's just, grinds my fucking gears. Not against the service industry, not against tips. It just, this push for mandatory 15% tipping. Like, why don't you just raise your prices then and pay your people better? Well, there's got to be some kind of loophole here that makes that more fiscally advantageous for the company. Additionally, it goes on, there's a deduction on up to $10,000 of auto loan interest for U.S. made cars. That actually, I'm actually cool with that one because my wife and I are paying off two Jeeps that we own, which are, at least on paper, mostly American made. I don't know if they're actually made here or if the panels and stuff are produced in Mexico and Canada and shit. It's hard to tell with a lot of these vehicles. Even if they are American brands, you don't really know where the manufacturing is truly happening on anything other than like the body, the frame, the chassis, all that stuff. temporary 1,000 individual or 2,000 joint boost to standard deduction. I think that's good. Expanded SALT deduction cap raised to 40K, phasing down after $500,000 income through 2029. I don't know what that is. I don't know what SALT is. You guys have to look into that one on your own. I apologize. I don't have all the answers on this stuff. I also will tell you, I don't have $500,000 in income, so not something I'm really worried about. For better or for worse, like helping rich people or not, whatever, I don't give a shit because I don't make $500 million in income. Or sorry, $500,000 in income. All right. Child-focused measures. Child tax credit is increased by $500 through 2028. So that's your maximum child tax credit. It's $2,500 per kid, which I see where that helps people if I'm understanding this correctly, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, but some people have so many fucking kids already that they use it as a reason that they could never work, and that just irritates the shit out of me. And at the end of the year when tax time comes around, they're like, oh, big ballin', we Oprah rich in here, everybody going on vacation, and they rub it in your face and shit. It's like, dude, all you did was lay on your back and spread your legs. Do not give me that shit, ma'am. And I did. I used to work as a bank teller, and I swear to God, I hated tax return time. It was my most miserable, least favorite fucking time of the year, because I know my tax return was like a couple hundred bucks at best. And we had these people who were on government assistance, didn't do shit, you know, and they're coming in and they're cashing checks for like $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, or they're trying to cash them. I think because I think it's illegal on federal tax return checks. You can't really tell them no. On normal checks, you can be like, well, you don't really carry a deposit history with us, so if this check is bad, we won't recoup the funds. So that's why sometimes you have to deposit your check and you can only get so much back. That's not like an industry secret. That's just how banks work, by the way. But if you have direct deposit and you have a history of repeated deposits, it eliminates that issue. And we also know that it's, you know, they're good funds. But yeah, let's see. $1,000 Trump accounts seeded for newborns born from 24 to 28 with parental contributions up to $5,000 a year. Okay, so I think that's, I think those are like college savings accounts or something. That's got to be what that is. Trump accounts seeded for newborns. And then the parents can contribute up to $5,000 a year. And that's effective for these 4 years, basically his term in office from 24 to 28. I don't know how that works. That seems like a lot of government spending. That's $1,000 for any newborn over the next 4 years. I mean, on one hand, it doesn't seem like a whole hell of a lot. But on the other hand, it's like, that's a lot of fucking babies. Like, somebody look up the numbers on how many fucking kids we crank out in this country every year. And then multiply that shit by four. And then make that a multiplication by 1,000. And that's how many of our doll hairs we're giving out into these accounts. Now, granted, I'm sure if by 2028 there is anything done with them, maybe they take that money back. Probably not, though. You know what I mean? Like, if it's set aside for them, then it's set aside for them. And when then in 18, that's going to be, here's the weird awesomeness of accounting, is that I'm sure that's going to sit on the books for the government for like at least 18 years. So then you're looking at like 2046, that shit'll fall off the books, which is really fucking awesome. Unless I'm not understanding that correctly, but that does seem like an awful lot of government spending packed into that particular piece of the bill. The next one here, this is really impactful, and this is welfare and healthcare cuts. So there are deep reductions in Medicaid and SNAP work requirements. So 80 hours per month, that's 20 hours per week for those of you guys that aren't math majors from a major collegiate institution. Yeah. So tighter eligibility and shifted the cost to the states. And it goes on to say estimated 10 to 14 million Americans could lose health coverage over the next decade. And yes, that's true. But here's when you start looking into the, the minutiae and the detail behind that is they're only cutting it for people who are actually physically capable of working at least of working 20 hours a week. Now, if you can't work 20 hours a week, then you can keep it. But there are people, and I've seen this shit out there. I swear to God, I've seen people out there. They work the system. They're completely capable. I've had people come in that they cash disability checks every month. And again, this is years ago. This is over a decade ago. I don't even work at the same place. They would come in with their cane because they're disabled and they got to have it. They'd cash their disability check and they'd leave. And they'd leave the cane hanging on the counter because they didn't really need it. They just had to carry it with them. So if anybody ever raised the question of impropriety, they could go, oh no, I'm disabled. And that's the part that fucking kills me about this shit, man. It really does, because you and I are paying our tax dollars into Medicaid. And if you look at Social Security, Medicaid, all these government programs, they were implemented and well-intended when they were conceived, right? Which a lot of this goes back to like Roosevelt, like, you know, I don't know if Medicaid does, but the whole concept of government assistance really as a core idea here. And when we look at the government budget and how much money gets spent, and this is why we have the discussion with school children now and new employees and shit, and the financial education piece is so important. It's like Social Security is not going to be there for you in 60 years when you go to retire. It's not going to be there in 40 years, you know, and Medicaid is unsustainable. All we have to keep raising the federal budget because of Medicaid. And it's like, yeah, because we're paying for shit that we shouldn't be paying for people who shouldn't be qualified for it. And I've seen this stuff happen. I had a really, really good friend of mine whose mother was battling lupus. And if you guys are aware of lupus, it's a really, really kicking the balls of a disease, right? That really ravages the human body. Very, very difficult. It was very difficult seeing his mother go through it. And hearing the stories from both him and his father about how many times I think they had to apply for disability and for support and everything like that for just because they didn't have the money, all the doctor's visits and all the treatments and everything to get her like a rascal scooter or a motor scooter that so she could move around outside of the house and stuff. They had to apply 4 fucking times before they finally got it. And you got doctor's records, you have test results, you have all these things. And I'm pretty sure that was just to get the scooter. I don't think that was to get her on disability. And that's the kind of shit I'm talking about. And people now are going, oh, well, I just have so many medical issues. I couldn't even, they post all over the internet. They want everybody to feel bad for them, right? I have more issues than I can list here. And I'm physically unable to work. I would love to. I just can't. Really? I mean, if that's true, then my heart is with you. And guess what? You can reapply. It's going to be a pain in the ass. I do feel badly about that. But here's the thing. It's because the program has been so taken advantage of by fucking shitbags who are just too fucking lazy to work that this is the position that we end up in. And now, yeah, it sounds awful saying that you're kicking 10 to 14 million Americans off their health coverage. And you know what? I would probably say that maybe 2 to 4 million of that. So let's go on the high end. Let's say 4 million of those people don't lose their coverage because they can justify why they're on it. Okay, that's still 10 million people, you guys. Like 10 million with an M. That's a lot of governmental spending that's now cut out and adjusted. That's money that can go elsewhere, or we just don't spend it. I would love to see us like not fucking spend it, but that's not the reality of how government... That's not the reality of how government works. Basically ever, if the money's there, they do not care. They will go ahead and spend it. Because then if they have a surplus left over at the end of the year, you know what happens? then following year's fiscal budget is lower. It's just why you see like these nonprofit programs and stuff when they get grants from the government and everything, or if they're funded through governmental agencies or, you know, stuff like that. You have to, they all know how the game is played. You use every penny you have, because the next year they're going to come back and say, oh, well, you actually had like $5,000 left over last year, so you didn't need that. We must be giving you guys too much money. That money can go to something else. It can be used for other purposes. And then you lose that money and people go, oh fuck, well, we can't let that happen. So then they start finding dumb shit just to spend the money, you know, just for the sake of it. And that turns into a whole slew of other issues. And yeah, so basically that's why I'm not actually upset about this Medicaid cut. And, you know, I have parents who are getting older too and are going to be retiring very, very, very soon and everything. Like, I get why people are upset. And I hope that just like with some of the rollbacks that were made to some of these federal positions, they kind of roll part of it back forward and go, okay, yes, you're entitled to what you're claiming for, but hey, most of you guys are not like tough titty fucking go out and get a job. Like, that's the thing. We like, and I know that sounds heartless, but you guys, so many of us, we get up, we go work every day. And I don't care if that's a desk job on a computer or if that's going and doing hard physical labor. You get up and you work and you're accountable and responsible for something every single day. And in your day, when you could be spending 8 or 9 hours or 12 hours of your day out doing anything else you want to do, you don't. You go to work and you work for somebody else to make them money so that they take some of that money and give it to you, because that's how it fucking works, guys. That's just, you know, you can say that. We can sit here and say, oh, that's the fucking evil of capitalism. Like, you sure fucking could say that, but, you know, I call it adulthood. That's just being a fucking adult. You know why? Because I like nice things. I like having a house. I like the guns that I have and the helmets and night vision and everything. Like, I like the life that I have, so I'm willing to go work for it. And yeah, it would be great if I could just sleep for 4 hours every night, you know, stay up till 4 a.m, fall asleep, get up at 8, hang out, fall asleep again, get up at 11, go to the gym for 3 hours, come home, shower, scratch my balls, eat a little bit, go back to the gym for another 2 hours, come home and stay up till 4. Like, that would be great if that was my fucking life, but it's not. So I can't live that way. I can't. But it's being an adult. That's how the world works. I hope that those steps with the welfare cuts and healthcare cuts and everything, I do hope that those are scoped, targeted, and applied in the correct manner, because otherwise that could be really, really bad. Impactful to people who are not intended, I think, right, to be impacted by that. Here's a real interesting one. Clean energy rollbacks. So they're phasing out the tax credits for electric vehicles, by September 2025. So that's actually relatively quick. That's 2 months from now. Home energy upgrades by mid-2026 and renewables. So here's the thing. It's not that I'm not opposed necessarily, like, in principle to clean energy. I will say the electric vehicle thing was a total fucking sham. It's totally stupid. Those batteries do more damage to the environment to create them, and then after they're dead, you can't recycle those batteries. It actually creates a real huge issue, as well as all the charging for them creates actually more of an energy problem than it solves by people driving those. Like, yeah, when you're driving them, you use less fossil fuels and there's less pollution into the atmosphere. However, what do people think powers the charging stations that those things have to be hooked up to, like, every 250 miles? You know, and I know some of them, like, my buddy has a F-150 Lightning, and I'm pretty sure those things are advertised. they can go 500 miles per charge. And it's just like with gas, right? You never let it get all the way to zero. So no, you'll probably never realize that 500 mark. But hey, 400, 450 miles, something like that. Yeah, probably, if you push it right. And he's told me pretty regularly he gets between 250 and 280, and then he's got to recharge. Like, it's not true. The performance numbers on these things just do not hold. I will say the acceleration on some of these hybrids and stuff is pretty damn impressive. They're pretty fun to drive. If, you know, I just rented one, but, you know, but they don't perform in an environmental capacity, I think, in the way that they're intended. They're just sold as that because at skin level, it's really easy to go, well, that's electric. It's not using gasoline. Therefore, we're not burning fossil fuels, oil, all that stuff. And a lot of people will scream and they'll try to go, oh, well, you know, it gets us away from our oil dependency in the Middle East. And it's like, yeah, there's some there's some logic to that, but there's more logic in saying that we just get our oil in other means and get away from the Middle East that way, and don't cause a bunch of fucking environmental damage with these batteries and this bullshit. And then also, by the way, all the catastrophic economic damage it did by forcing private companies to modify their business model to comply with some of this shit for electronic vehicles and whatnot. I know, and that's a separate issue from the energy rollbacks and the tax credits and everything, but like, listen, if you can afford a fucking Tesla, you're probably doing well enough. You don't really need the tax break, you know, or I know everyone fucking hates Elon now. So, I don't know, the Ford F-150 Lightning or the Chevy Volt or whatever the fuck else is out there. I don't know. I was always very annoyed by that stuff. And the fact that a lot of the clean energy shit just doesn't work as well as it's sold to. Here's a good one too. So, changes to national security and border funding. This is good stuff. All right. So midterm funding, $350 billion for defense and $150 billion additional for ICE/border enforcement. And it goes on to say, rising to over $100 billion by 2029. Okay. So basically, these funds are going towards the border wall, the Border Patrol, the CBP, asylum fees, and the new Golden Dome missile air defense system. So I'm kind of working backwards on that. I believe the Golden Dome concept is something similar to like Star Wars with what Reagan had in the 80s. So with the fear of so many of our, I guess, enemies, right, having ballistic missile capabilities where they could launch an attack on us, right, from, you know, whatever country they're in, so whether that's China, that's Russia, that's Cuba, that's wherever, right? We want to have a defense system that is able to defend against the modern technology. And if you guys have looked at some of this stuff, it's actually kind of terrifying. Some of these missiles move at speeds so fast that our existing missile defense systems would not be able to intercept. So we'd be kind of fucked. And then it would be like that whole mutually assured destruction thing where you fire a missile at me, then I fire a missile at you, then you fire 5 back at me and I fire 10 back at you, and then they fire a nuke here and we fire 10 nukes back at them, and then, you know, nuclear holocaust, everybody's living off fucking Twinkies in Natick, right? Shout out to Family Guy. But yeah, so the missile defense system, I think, you know, unfortunately, given the political climate and the tension that exists in the world, you know, probably necessary. The border wall, CBP, the asylum thing, listen, as shitty as it is, right, this is the cost of doing business to correct the shitty decisions that were made by the last administration. I think it boils down a lot to that. Now, yeah, I mean, building the border wall and everything, like, are finishing it. I know that wasn't necessarily the last administration. They did go out of their way to actively and immediately halt construction of that border wall. But this shit, most of this, you know, funding for ICE and stuff like that and border enforcement wouldn't even be necessary if we hadn't opened the border for the last 3 years and just let anybody and their fucking grandmother wander over the border, not going through the port of entry the legal way, and just come set up shop here in the United States. And this isn't, you know, these aren't, it's, you know, everyone's, oh, these are just people that want to be American. They just want the American dream. And it's like, no, if that's what they wanted, they would have done it the legal way. For a lot of them, maybe not all of them, right, but a lot of them. Instead, what you were seeing is, like, you know, and there were interviews, there was shit, like the people who were detained trying to come in, like Syrian males, Syrian fighting age males with ties to terrorist cells. What's happening is that these people, these assholes, are coming in through the southern border, they're coming to the United States, and they're setting up cells for pick whatever organization you want. All right. And this is like, this has been an ongoing issue for decades, but it was made so much worse in the last 3 years because it had never been weaker on the border. Right. There's lots of books on it. I actually read one while I was on vacation. I finished it, talking about, you know, everything from the Mexican cartels to the terrorist organizations over in the Middle East, everybody working together to get cells going here in the U.S. to help coordinate attacks against the U.S. Excuse me. So that's the border security thing is one that, yes, it's a ton of money. That is a shitload of money. That's $500 billion. That's $500 billion for defense of our country and our border. And, you know, people will scream like, oh, that's military spending this and law enforcement spending that and blah, blah, blah. It takes a ton of money. you guys, it does, because you're not just doing work to create a positive impact. You have to work twice as hard to undo the things that were done by the previous administration, right? You're changing the culture of some agencies. You're not only kicking people out, you're hunting people down. You have intelligence gathering operations. You have to pay people. You have to pay for resources, things like drones and monitoring. And there's just so much that goes into it. This is a shitload of money, you know. I think that it's probably one of the biggest parts of the bill. But I also think that when you look at the list of what was included in here, if you were to point your finger at stuff and go, that's what I voted for, I think that more often than not, you'd get people pointing at that very specifically and saying, that's what I voted for. Out of all this shit, regardless of who you are, if you're attached to the 2A community, whatever, you could point at that and go, I voted for that. I voted for more secure borders. I voted for security in my home. It makes sense, you guys. It's a ton of money. I get that. Do I wish it was less? I do. But, that's a big one. Let's see. Business and estate perks. Oh, that should be fucking good. Increased pass-through deduction, 100% expensing and R&D and equipment, estate and gift tax threshold is raised to $15 million per person. Okay, so that's... I don't really know. So you can get gifts up to $15 million per person before your estate starts getting taxed on it. So that one actually does feel like something that caters only to the ultra rich. I mean, $15 million, who the hell's leaving you that in an estate? And can I be part of your family? Because I would love that shit. After the thoughts and prayers and whatnot. We're going to move past that because I'm kind of sick of talking about deductions and things like that at the moment. Let's get to the good stuff. Let's get to what everybody I think was waiting to hear about, which is ammo and firearms. So the big piece of this, let's give you guys some context. Initially, a lot of people were hoping that there was an opportunity to remove the entire NFA from the legislative slate, as it were, right, with this bill. And that was something that was, I believe, on the table, but apparently due to some weird, I forget what fucking rule it was, because the NFA itself didn't have a financial impact of any kind, then it could not be included in this. And so it had to be reframed and rewritten, and that's how we ended up with what we have, which is that the $200 tax stamps, right? So any of you guys that have purchased a suppressor, you've done an SBR or a short-barreled rifle, right? Or you've done a short-barreled shotgun. You've paid a $200 NFA tax or tax stamp on short-barreled rifles and suppressors, stuff like that, right? And then you have to wait your processing time to get approved, and then you get your approval and you can go be your FFL, pick it up, get your can out of jail, like, you know, the fun little terms and shit and the names we have for it. So that $200 tax is gone, and that's still a win, you know, albeit it would be way cooler if we didn't have to do any of that. But I believe that does not, the ATF does not have to comply with that until January 1st of 26. So we still got another like 6 months of ass kissing we got to do and, you know, stupidity and whatnot before that one fully kicks in. But it does do some good things. It does set to some degree a legal precedent that this is, you know, there's no reason for this. You know, before, if we had this removed, so the fiscal part of it is removed from the equation, there's no reason for us to have to actually do this. You know, like, suppressors don't actually suppress the sound or make the weapon so, you know, whisper quiet that's a danger. And if you look at the short-barreled rifles conversation, there's a pretty good number of statistics out there and reports out there that point to, yes, I mean, AR platform rifles and weapons and stuff are used in mass shootings, but I don't think there's a very high number at all that are actual, like, SBRs or even AR pistols in some instances. It's almost always, like, AR-15 rifles off the shelf, 14.5, 16-inch rifles, 18-inch rifles, and then a lot of it, honestly, handguns and shotguns. So it kind of, like, really starts to invalidate why we even have these things on the NFA, why we do this to people, and why we're essentially creating an unconstitutional registry of these items, which the government, mostly the ATF, right, is actively fighting to maintain and expand on. So what it does is it opens the door for additional legislation for groups like, you know, Firearms Policy Coalition, Gun Owners of America. I guess the NRA will probably they'll put in just enough money probably to pin their name to it as well. But they can legislatively start fighting this. And I believe there's already been lawsuits launched or whatever, basically trying to get the NFA destroyed. Like, hey, the NFA no longer matters. Like, we don't, you're not making any money off this. There's just literally government oversight on the purchase of these arms. Before they could say, oh, well, you know, the government uses this, you have to pay $200 for a tax stamp, the government relies on this income, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I don't fucking know. I'm just assuming. All right, well, that's gone. So then why do we still have this? So when this tax goes away, so the process will remain the same. You won't have to pay $200 extra, but you'll still have to submit the paperwork. You'll have to file your Form 4 or the ATF and all that other good shit. You'll have to wait for them to approve it. And I know approval times were way down, and they probably will continue to be for at least the next couple months. So literally it just takes that money component out of it. You still have to get approved. You still got to do the stupid paperwork. You got to go into the fucking FFL and deal with all that nonsense and bullshit. It's really kind of fucking annoying. It's almost like a half measure. Like, ah, oh, you guys can keep your $200. Like, ah, oh, gee, thanks, Dad. if we can win the battle and we can have, the NFA as a whole overturned, I think that would be a huge win. I think that would be absolutely massive. The one concern that I, and I think a lot of people have from an access standpoint is the suppressor companies raising prices. So as the $200 goes away, if you're a manufacturer, you go, hey, I charge, I don't know, let's say I'm Dead Air, right? And I charge $800 for my Sandman S can, my flagship can. So I sell a bunch of them. Great can, works well. A lot of people like it. And I priced it at $800 because we did research and market study that said people draw their threshold for whatever reason at round numbers and specifically $1,000. So we know that if we price at $800 and they were paying $200 on their tax stamp, that puts them at $1,000. And, That's our lucky number. That's our ideal number, right? So are these companies then going to turn and go at the first of the year, go, oh, well, shit, that number is gone. We're going to raise prices. And we're going to say it's due to increased demand because you don't have to pay for tax stamps. So now more people want these cans. There's going to be a rush on suppressors at the turn of the year, which is actually kind of a nice New Year's gift to yourself or like a belated Christmas gift or whatever, right? And these suppressor companies say, oh, due to increased demand, we have to increase our prices. And then you have cans that are already pretty expensive, like the Surefire RC2s, RC3s, the Huxworks and stuff like that, that are somewhere between like $1,200 and $1,800 for a can, and they're going to go up. That's the prevailing theory, right? That's what people are afraid might happen. I don't know how true that is. It would be really fucking shitty if it did. And it doesn't, it would speak to what companies are actually working and creating products and things in the interest of their clients, their customers, right? The 2A community. And because every one of them markets as we want to equip civilians to be capable and effective and fight tyranny. And they all lobby against, you know, these gun control laws and things like that, because that's what you're supposed to do. It, you know, help protect the industry that you make money off of. But will you follow through with it? And I just use Dead Air as an example. I think they're a tremendous company. I don't necessarily think that they're going to do that. I own a Dead Air Sandman S, and just off the top of my head, I think, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Surefire raised prices. Honestly, like, I like Surefire products and I pay for Surefire products. I like their lights. I have the RC2. I'm just saying that, historically, they do a lot of stuff with military contracts. It would not surprise me if their prices went up on the commercial side. So, and that's, you know, a lot of people looked at this, and that is the only thing that they heard out of this whole big, beautiful bill, out of the whole TBBB. That is all that they heard was, we're going to remove the NFA. It was like, holy shit, or they were going to remove SBRs and suppressors from the NFA. So, you know, oh, well, we don't have to worry about doing any paperwork. We can just walk in and buy suppressors. And it's like, nope. That's not how this works. That's not the case. You can't just walk in and purchase them. You still have to do the paperwork. You still have to submit for review. The ATF still has to do its background check and its due diligence on you because it's still part of the NFA. They just aren't charging you any money for it. And people were kind of, you know, butthurt about it. So, which I get, you know, but it is what it is. But that was the big focal point. I know that a lot of people were looking at this and going, oh, yeah, this is a win. We got to vote for this. We got to get it through no matter what. I'll take whatever I can get. And it's like, no, the compromise thing's a little bit played out, you guys. We can't keep compromising. We need to reach out to elected officials and go, we want you to keep forcing this issue. We want our gun rights. We want them restored. It's not anything new. We want them given back because they were taken from us, and they have been taken from us and we deserve to have those freedoms. So that's a huge issue. You know, I think a lot of like the gun rights groups will sit here, you know, and throw up and it's, you can't do this. We can't take them from the NFA. But honestly, I don't know if they would even understand what they're talking about. Probably not. Just because those people are historically speaking, they're idiots and they're misinformed on, key facts and key information on the devices that they, boycott and try to get everybody to over-regulate and price out of existence. But let's move on a little bit here. Let's take a look at a couple of these other items. So budgetary and coverage impacts is what it says for the Nexus. So this actually adds, adds $2.4 to $2.8 trillion to our deficit by 2034, with some estimates up to anywhere from $3.3 to $3.4 trillion. And that is a ton of fucking money in the national debt, you guys. And that's why when we just mentioned a moment ago, that's all they saw was the potential to remove suppressors and SBRs from the NFA. And then you saw people like Thomas Massie vote against this bill, right? A couple Republicans and people go straight to the fucking internet politics shenanigans, right? Who are the rhinos? Call out the rhinos. And it's rhinos is R-I-N-O. So it's Republican in name only. And basically that's a slang term, right? That's or a label that's applied to some of these politicians that are they're members of the Republican Party. But then when they go against the popular vote of their party. So in this case, like Thomas Massie looks at the bill and goes, that's a lot of extra fucking money. That is a ton of money. And while some of these things are really good, I don't know that I can personally justify, you know, something like you guys, you know, are saving $200 in your tax stamps versus signing off on, you know, additional $3 trillion to the deficit over the next 10 years. That takes forever for us to pay that shit down. You know, I mean, and famously, right, that's all the fucking Democrats ever want to talk about is, the last time we had a surplus in this country was Clinton, a Democrat. It's like, well, a lot of shit's happened in the last 30 years. All right, let's not talk about, you know, Slick Willie like he's the savior that he definitely fucking isn't. We don't got to get into him. Everybody, his issues are well documented, right? But that's a ton of money added to our national debt over the next decade. And honestly, I hope there's something done about that. I really do. I know it is what it is right now, but as we've seen, all this stuff comes and goes, ebbs and it flows, right? So any number of politicians could step in and go, hey, you know, as soon as we have the next president, and we're revising this, we're cutting that back, we're rolling that back, just like we saw with the clean energy tax cuts and all that stuff. Like this, I mean, it's guaranteed for so long. You know, only for so long. Nothing lasts forever, especially in politics, when you can start using somebody else's happiness as a weapon for somebody, so you can like weaponize it with somebody else's misery for a way to advance your own agenda. That's the definition of what fucking politicians do and why they do it. Well, actually, why they do it is to line their own pockets, normally. let's see. It says that there's risks to public programs include cuts to Medicaid, SNAP, family planning, clean energy jobs, and rural hospitals. So the clean energy jobs thing, clean energy isn't a thing. Clean energy doesn't work. We talked about it a little bit. If you look at the numbers behind energy production with like solar farms and windmills, it doesn't line up. And all of those things, once those are the supplies and the materials and things that are used in those devices, like solar panels, cannot be recycled, right? Wind farms, those things, they cannot be recycled. So you're literally creating a shitload of excess waste in the name of quote unquote clean energy. And the amount of energy that is created on any kind of regular level or sustaining level does not meet what the investment required. So you're going to put out, $5 billion, but you're only coming back and making $3 billion worth of energy. And now you don't measure energy by dollars, but you guys get the point. Like when I say it that way, it never lines up. The cost, the juice is never worth the squeeze. You can put it that way, right? Family planning. I think there's to a degree. Now I struggle with this a little bit, honestly, because I don't like being told how to live, yet we're famously good on the conservative side of the aisle at telling people they have to live their life a certain way by God and Jesus and all those things and a certain level of morality. And I agree with a lot of those things. I really do. But I the double standards thing does bother me. I think the family planning part is, I would say it's almost like collateral damage, because I know that there is good work that's done you know, by that organization. There is some good work that's done by it. I think when people look at family planning and Planned Parenthood, they just look as they look at it as a immoral outlet to give out, you know, condoms to underage kids who shouldn't be having sex, and propagating, you know, these ideas and a culture of immorality, right? So, you know, you want to go biblical, you want to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, you want to talk about that. I mean, like, I get it. I don't know how I feel about that one, to be honest with you. And it'd be really cool. And I'm sure some of you guys, I know there's some of you dudes like to get out there, get on your soapbox, and you like to get real preachy about the Bible, and you like to get real preachy about telling everybody else how they're supposed to fucking live their life. And you're entitled to your opinion, just like I'm entitled to mine. And here's the thing, I disagree with how a lot of people live their lives. I do, whether that's how they manage their finances, who they sleep with, who they love, who they don't love, who they worship, if they don't worship at all. I can have my own opinions, and they can live their lives however they want, as long as it doesn't fucking involve me, is how I feel about it. Now, luckily for me, I am not in a position where I have to deal with those things and make those decisions on any kind of regular basis, and most of us are not. It just bothers me, you know, because I know that to some extent those organizations are doing good things, and I just I have a lot of difficulty when we have this double standard, but we don't want to be told what our freedoms are. We don't want to be like, cause there's a lot of biblical stuff and religious stuff that's tied into some of this legislation that I just don't agree with forcing on people. That's the easiest way I can say it without sitting here taking up a whole nother hour of our time trying to justify my opinion. If you don't like it, you're welcome to disagree with me, drop a comment, send me a message. I'll love to talk about it, honestly. As long as you're well-informed. Like, I hate the messages and people are like, you're a fucking loser because you fucking think this and God's going to smite you and send you to hell. And I'm like, that was not a well-informed comment. Could you expound on that? And I get, you know, fuck you. Oh, all right. All right, so you can't, got it. And then we're not having a conversation, then we're just name-calling, you know, or you're name-calling and I'm ignoring you, which I don't like. I don't like that. That makes me feel bad. What I'd love to have is, like, you know, well-informed discussions on both sides of the issue. Maybe you can help fill in some gaps for me, and then you bring me over to your way of thinking, or vice versa, you know. Or what I really love is when people can just have a conversation with different viewpoints and different opinions and perspectives, and it's just fucking wild. You guys will love this. When we're done, we just agree that we don't agree. And the world keeps turning. It's wild, right? But, all right, so let's talk a little bit. We talked a lot, right? Like, we're, like, 52 minutes in. Jesus. So let's talk about timeline on when some of this stuff is going on. Now, we talked about the tax stamp piece, right? The ATF has until January 1st of 2026 to comply, which I think is absolute horseshit. Why does it take you 6 fucking months to make this adjustment? Hey, guys, the money is shut off, all right? Fucking deal with it. I don't understand why we can't do it sooner than that. There might be a reason and justification for it. There might be, I bet is like in all those legal disclosures and shit you have to read and sign when you do your tax stamp and whatnot. I bet they have to hire a fucking army of lawyers to go back through that bullshit, rewrite it, proof it, and make sure it's good to go before they're putting it back out into circulation, because I don't think the ATF like runs off those tax stamp money. I don't think their budget is impacted by how many devices are sold or not. You know what I mean? So I can't believe that it would be a fiscal thing or a financial issue. I guess I could probably be wrong, but at any rate, that isn't in effect until January 1st. What is happening immediately, or, you know, mid-year, mid-2025, we're basically there. It's, you know, at the time this is dropping, it'll be July 9th. The tax breaks on tips, overtime, the auto interest, the SALT cap raise, and the extension on the 2017 tax rates enacted at signing. So those are all immediate. So as of July 4th, there's no more... there's the tax breaks on tips and overtime, all that stuff. Like, that's already in effect and has been in effect for the last 5 days or so. Now, by the end of the year, so by 2026, the Medicare/Medicaid work requirements, those are going to go into effect. The newborn $1,000 Trump-seeded accounts or whatever those things are, those will start. And then the clean energy credit starts rolling back. So that, like, that's going to start rolling back at the new tax year, basically, which makes sense because you only really do your taxes year to year. You can't really implement that any sooner, and it's not fair to go in reverse. The people who are benefiting from those tax credits, yeah, they voted for it, but in a lot of cases, like, they're just doing what they can within the rules that were passed by, you know, the assholes that are in the government. So it's hard to really go, oh, well, we're going to pull those back. Like, nah, that shit ain't fair. It sucks, and I never agreed with it in the first place, but you can't retrograde it. That'd be pretty shitty. If we're talking future now, 2027 to 2028, school voucher tax credit programs launch, child savings, the Trump accounts will start to wind down because, again, those are only good from 2024 to 2028. And then the standard deduction adjustments will start to reset because, again, those adjustments are also only good through the Trump presidency, which sucks because I feel like then it just opens the doors for them to fuck with them even more. And it is as if our tax code was not confusing enough as it is. You guys know, like, the people that do your taxes don't even understand the tax code. Like, I think there's an Einstein quote about how fucked up it is and everything. Like, our tax code here is so awful. That's why it takes an office of people to do the taxes of, like, a family of two. It's absolutely asinine and insane, and that's just what we have to fucking deal with here. But then it goes on, and, you know, 2030 and beyond, the salt cap's going to revert, the temporary tax breaks are going to phase out unless they get extended by future legislation, which we talked about, right? These things could change, and more than likely, they will, because your and I's tax dollars, the implications, the impacts, this is nothing more to these people than political capital, ammunition, if you will. It's why Columbine was what, like 95, something like that, 96. So it's been 30 years, basically, right? Since the mother of all, I hate calling it that because it's kind of like a positive thing, but the most infamous school shooting incident in the history of our country took place, and we're still hemming and hawing, backing and forthing on gun control laws. And, you know, when people say, well, there's got to be a common sense solution, we have to be able to meet middle ground on some of these issues. Yeah, the whole gun control thing would be one. Taxes could be another, right? Like, we could probably meet on some pretty good middle ground, but it's too valuable as campaign ammunition to let that issue be solved. Like, does that make sense? Because if we can't put a Democrat out there and have him scream about how it's time to take all the guns away, what are they fucking left with? I'll tell you what, look at Gretchen Whitmer. She's our governor here in Michigan. I do not like her as a governor. I think she's awful. And she campaigned on fixing the damn roads. There's so many media clips of her going, it's time to fix the damn roads. You know, we're back for round two and to fix the damn roads. Our roads here are still shit. And if you don't believe me, talk to anybody who's ever visited this state. It's almost comical. Like, I think I even have it on the interview I did over a year ago now with Jason Ransom from Ryan Training Group. They came up to Michigan for the first time and did their 3-day structure clearance course at Battlefield CQB. Shout out to Battlefield. First thing, I think one of the first things I asked him, what do you think of the roads? And he goes, I think he said he made some joke about third world countries. Like, we have terrible roads here. And as a Democrat, she campaigned on fixing the damn roads, and it didn't get done. And that's not, like, it's not sexy. It's not enticing. Like, hey, gun control. Oh, I mean, I don't think that's sexy, personally. I mean, to some of the cucks out there that are really into that kind of, like, demasculization thing and everything, yeah, they probably love that shit. They eat it up. Like, I am definitely going to go vote for that strong woman who's going to take the gun, who's going to take the toys away from those men who think they need it, right? I can visualize in my mind's eye, you know, the people that buy that shit. But, like, come on. This stuff is too valuable. Otherwise, what are you going to campaign on? Oh, hey, pro-life, pro-choice, that whole thing. It's too good on both sides of the aisle that it's never going to go away. It's never going to go away, because then what are we going to argue about? How are we going to prove that one politician's better than the other without something to argue over? We might actually have to start holding our political leadership to some kind of performance standard, some kind of performance metric, which, I mean, like, think about it. When you go to work, and a lot of us work office jobs, I do, and we have a year-end review, and what do you do in there? You sit down with your manager, You go, hey, let's look at what you got done for the year. Let's look at your behavior. Let's look at what everything, you know, what everything that's everything, right? What have you accomplished? Have you had major issues? Have you had setbacks? And then you start talking about development goals and blah, 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 blah. Have you noticed that the only people, seemingly, the only two people, I'll say, in this country that don't undergo that are the fucking unemployed and the publicly elected? It doesn't matter how, I mean, and yes, we can sit here and say, hey, we'll vote you out if you suck at your jobs. That's why you need to make your, you know, you need to make your voters happy. And I guess that's true. But if you make it past a second term, you're basically a lock until you want to be done. Like, look, and that's, people will go, oh, it's not true. And it's a shitty thing to say out loud and have to realize, but look at the numbers on it. Look at the data behind that claim. Yeah, statistically speaking, if you make it past your, the incumbent always has the benefit for one, or always has the advantage, I'm sorry. And when you look at it, yeah, if you've been on the ticket more than twice and you've won more than twice, your household name recognition is now so strong, and especially in some of these lower seats like senators and House representatives and stuff, you know, who's running against them? Unless they have a really strong campaign or they have just done some horrible shit, like they slept with three of their aides, their nanny, and their kids, you know, tutor, you know, it is really hard for people to lose. Like, we've had the same two senators here in Michigan as I couldn't even tell you before Debbie Stabenow and what's the other guy's name? I can't even, I hate him. Gary Peters. Debbie Stabenow and Gary Peters. And before them, I could not even tell you who the hell our senators were here. And now they're both finally coming on and say, oh, yeah, now things are finally coming to an end. This will be my last term in office. And it's like, yeah, fucking finally, dude. These people are supposed to be public servants, right? And they turn these political careers into literal careers where they make, oh, a modest salary of like $250,000 a year. They have guaranteed free health care for the rest of their life once you get to like the Senate and upwards, right? Or the House and upwards, I think, right? They have security detail. Their travel is taxpayer funded in most instances. Even governors, they do that shit. I know Gretchen Whitmer has been all over the fucking globe on the dime of the Michigan taxpayer. It's absolutely absurd. And it drives me fucking insane. I can't stand it. But, okay, so there is a short interpretation here that, you know, that the, again, I got this out of a summarization through AI, through ChatGPT. So it does give a broad sweeping interpretation that says that this mixes permanent tax policy changes, TCJA extension, estate slash gift increases, with substantial temporary tax perks aimed at families and workers, offset by deep spending cuts, especially in public health, welfare, energy, and education. It reflects a fiscal shift prioritizing tax relief and national security, but critics warn of healthcare losses, higher debt, and inequity. And I love that. The inequity of it all. Oh, this is going to help some class of people more than it helps others. And it's like, yeah, I mean, you're never going to please everyone. Like, but that's been the big bitch against Donald Trump and everything he's done since day one. Oh, he's only doing this to benefit his rich friends. And there's a great clip of him out there debating with Hillary Clinton where he goes, you're damn right I do. I use this. I use the loopholes. I use the tax code. I use this to my advantage. And so do you and all your friends. If you don't like it, change it. But they don't, because then they would stop losing them benefits themselves. But they'll sit there and they'll campaign talking about how awful Trump is for using it. And it's like, dude, these people do this shit themselves. Like, look at the fucking trades made in some of these stock portfolios by some of these people. It is absolutely obnoxious when you look at how much money these people as public servants have, and they're trading on insider information on their spouse's accounts and things. It's like, oh no, that's his business. I don't have anything to do with that. And then for some reason, we never hold them to it. We never hold them accountable and go, wait a fucking minute. Are you serious? You're telling me your husband just happened to buy, I don't know, fucking Raytheon or something. And then 2 days later, they go public with this huge news that shoots their stock price through the fucking ceiling. Or you sold this stock. And then a week later, we find out they have massive issues and that they weren't approved by the FDA for whatever drug they're developing. And they plummet. The stock's worthless now. But you sold yours before that happened. And that's just okay. And then you actually have them defending it. I know there's videos out there of Dan Crenshaw getting really upset, people criticizing stock portfolio moves and stuff, which you can deny. You can deny all day long that it's not based on inside information. It'll take a lot to convince somebody otherwise. I'll be honest with you. Oh yeah, we're not entitled to do anything. You know, we're not entitled to that, right? It's only $40,000. It's like, dude, $40,000 is an awful lot of money. to an awful lot of fucking people. Don't sit here and downplay and try to invalidate the feelings of the people who put you in that job and keep you in that job. That's just how I feel. But we could go on about the politicians and the crooked bullshit. We could go on about that for hours and hours. And that's honestly, if you guys do like this stuff, by the way, if these are the kinds of things that really get you going, the Sunday Sit Rep episodes are pretty much all this. It's like current events, it's politics. Sometimes it gets into other things and whatnot too, but it's a lot of this. So if this kind of like fired up Austin is what really tickles your fancy and you enjoy hearing about it, check those out. Tune into those. We usually only drop one a month, but sometimes there's more. You know, sometimes I'll do. I did a second one a year ago. I need to keep going back to that one. It sticks out in my mind though when they tried to assassinate Trump. I don't know who they are, but when there was the assassination attempt in Pennsylvania on Donald Trump on the campaign trail, it was the middle of the month. I released a Sunday Sit Rep because it's a big fucking deal, right? We hadn't had that happen since Reagan was in office in the 80s. I'm pretty sure it's before I was born. So it's been a minute, right? But if you like this stuff, go check out the Sit Rep episodes. But hopefully this discussion brings more illumination and clarity to you guys on the one big beautiful bill. I like the T-triple B better because I like smarm and dirty humor. There's an awful lot in there, and it at least highlights where a lot of our spending is going. I don't, unfortunately, think that you and I are going to see any sweeping changes that are ultra impactful to our day-to-day life. Yeah, the $200 on the tax stamp is gone at the beginning of next year, but like, how often were most of us buying suppressors anyways? Like $800 or $1,000, that's still a lot of fucking money. I own two cans. I've been shooting for over 10 years. It's a lot. I can honestly tell you that I'm probably not going to go out and buy five suppressors because that $200 is gone. It's just, I mean, guys that do that or say they're going to do that, they're a liar. Because then, unless you're going to go buy the world's cheapest suppressors, which I would highly recommend that you don't do that shit, because you get what you pay for, especially with suppressors, with the lockup on mounting devices and shit. I mean, hey, take your life in your own hands, man. Like, go ahead, do it. Go spend $4,000 buying, like, well, no, I guess you could spend like, if you bought some like Yankee Hill cans, they're like $500, you could get like four of them for about $2,000. I don't like the muzzle devices, but they perform okay. It's not a bad decision, I guess. I just don't believe when everyone's like, I'm going to go buy fucking five cans. I'm going to make sure every one of my rifles has one. Like, dude, if you can afford it, dude, ball out, man. America, like, go fucking live your best life, dude. I just don't think that's realistic. But for, everything we just rattled through, I don't think we're all going to see a huge impact right away. Other than, I think, obviously the changes to the immigration policy, border security, I think we'll hopefully start to see, less stories in the news about attacks by illegals and things like that. No more stories about apartment complexes in Colorado being overrun by, foreign gangs and things like that. less gigantic ICE raids and things of that nature. So thank you guys so much for hanging out and listening. I knew this is something I wanted to talk about. I didn't want to just try and because we broke an hour. This wasn't something I wanted to limit to a Sunday Sit Rep discussion. I mean, I certainly could have. I could have breezed through it, but I think there's a lot of meat here, and I think it's impactful for us because, these kinds of, the tax cuts, the spending, the things like that, it's not really a preparedness issue. But when you start talking about people's money and livelihoods and things like that, it is a preparedness issue, because if you have more or less money to use as a resource, that directly impacts how many training courses you go to. It directly impacts how much ammunition you can buy, how much dry food you can buy in store, repairs to your home, upgrades and enhancements to your home, whether that's for security or longevity or both, right? This is important stuff for all of us. It may not for all of us. Some of you guys, like I said, you're probably still sitting at home. You're probably, with your parents still, and that's cool. If you guys are listening and you're under 25, God bless, like, I wish at 22 years old I was this interested in, personal preparedness, shooting, training, all that good shit. Like, I got involved in this way later in life than I really wanted to. It's been really awesome. I'm not like upset, but I just wish I would have done it sooner. I could have done things differently with my life. Not saying I have regrets on it or anything. I'm just saying, it could have been. could have been cool if I would have started a little bit younger. Maybe would have done things in my life a little bit differently, but I'm happy with where I ended up. So sincerely, I appreciate you guys hanging out and checking out the discussion. Looking ahead at the calendar, the next several weeks, we have some really, really cool guests lined up that are all, I think, one's a returning guest, but other than that, they're all new guests to the podcast in spaces that I don't think we've really gotten into. So it should be a very, very entertaining July for us, as well as rolling into August. I know there's a couple big ones, big swings coming in the month of August that I'm excited to bring to you guys. So thank you guys for hanging out and listening to this, but stay tuned. That's what I'm trying to say is stay tuned, because you're not going to want to miss the next probably five or six discussions. And if you guys are listening to this and you like it, share it with your friends, man. I know there's a lot of good podcasts out there, but really trying to do everything we can to make this one that you guys look to for good information, and reach out. You got messages. You want me to talk to somebody specifically? I can look into it. I can try it. I'm not going to say everybody you send me, I'm going to bring on, because some people just don't have enough to say yet in their journey. But for sure, always looking for good guests, always looking for information that's relevant to you guys. So even if there's topics that you want to talk about that I haven't gotten into or something like that, you know, more homesteading or home maintenance, you know, I've been playing with those ideas for a while too, like bring on somebody who's like a specialist in home maintenance around like electrical and plumbing and shit like that. Like that's an important part. Like, we all live in homes. That's like day-to-day survival shit, you know? Maybe not. I don't know. But that's up to you guys. If you want to shoot me a message, you want to let me know it's how you feel, you can send me an email. I don't get emails anymore. Not that I don't receive them. People just don't send them anymore. But if you guys wanted to send me one, that'd be pretty dope. It's prepared.mindset.podcast@gmail.com. Feel free. Send me anything you want. I did have a couple people previously. Dude, one guy sent me like a 3-paragraph long email telling me about what, I don't even remember. I think it was, part of it was telling me he liked the podcast. Part of it was correcting me on what I said, which wasn't incorrect. It just wasn't what he believed. And then part of it was a suggestion on what to bring, or who to bring on and what to cover, I think. So I do periodically get them. It's just been a while since I've gotten one. Or if you want to send me a message on Instagram, you know, you can, it's prepared_mindset_pod. You can shoot me a DM on there if it's easier for you guys. But let me know if you're enjoying this stuff and it's helpful. I want to know so I can do more of it. That being said, you guys, that's all I have for you for this week's discussion. Thank you so much for hanging out. Enjoy the summer as we roll on into July. Stay safe out there. Stay hydrated. Like we always say here, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.